Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Proud on Texas. We are visiting with one of our local race candidates down in Scurry County. You may have picked up our recent interview on county judge race there. This entire courthouse issue in Scurry County down Snyder Way has just been such a roller coaster of, well, I don't know how to put it. It's just been really the stench of local government in many ways. Massive tax increases, express meaning in writing lies to the voters, telling them somebody else is going to pay the property tax increases instead of them. And this has caused a lot of rancor, as it should, as the system should work. We have an open seat on the commissioner's court in Scurry County, Precinct 2. Quite a few folks running in the Republican primary for that. One of our good listeners, Mitch Hickman, is running for commissioner. Mitch knows how to do it. He went to the Proud on Texas website and used the contact form to be on the show. Mitch, tell us about this race, your motivations for running, and what the big issues are in Scurry County at the courthouse.
Doug, hello, Rob. Yes, this is Mitch Hickman. I am a candidate for Precinct 2, Scurry County. Anyway, this is the voters of Scurry County. No, this is the year for a top-notch progressive change toward better representation, to have more accountability and transparency. We've had a lot of, as you know, Robert, a lot of lack of transparency. Here recently, the one of the local newspapers was had to file a FOIA to find out how much the funds were in the just in the special reserves of Scurry County. And it took nearly a month for them to answer. In fact, the local paper had to go to the Texas Attorney General's office to get a resolution.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Hickman. Wait a minute. You're telling me that the Scurry County leadership, the commissioner's court, which includes county judge and commissioners, would not turn over a simple request for how much money is in the people's reserve funds? I mean, that's something that ought to just be on a report that they have on a regular basis from the treasurer's office. What would be the purpose of keeping that secret?
We don't know. It's not going to be a campaign promise. If I am elected, the folks will, they can come in, they can look at the books, we'll have it posted online. You will not have to file a FOIA to find out where your money's going.
Did they not know because they're actually not bothering keeping the books very close? I mean, I've seen that be the case at times, but I can't imagine why they would want to hide it. I don't want to belabor the point. I think you're making an incredible, obvious point that there's a serious problem in the courthouse. I mean, it's not as if you're asking for something that shouldn't just be right there to look at for any citizen to call up any day, literally any day, and say, hey, about how much money's in our reserve funds? The treasurer's office ought to be able to answer that question right away or through the commissioner's court. So, okay, so that's one of the big issues. So let's move on to some of the others in Scurry County.
Okay. I'm currently a sitting member of the Snyder City Council, and I was the only city councilman that voted against tax increase. So that that will show proof that I am truly conservative. I mean, I was the lone standout of voting against tax increases.
What
I
do you
always continue to vote against?
So you were already seeing the local cities' numbers. What do you make of that massive property tax increase that ended up in a rollback election, that where the county judge and people told people in writing in the newspaper, we covered it on the show, it was such an egregious lie, that they wouldn't be paying this, the big oil company concerns would pay. Did you, when you were on the city council, did you find out about a secret property tax that only applies to the rich people that own oil interest and another property tax that applies to everybody else? Because last time I checked state law, if you raise the property taxes, everybody pays the increase.
That's true, Robert. And that's, we've been working on that. March is going to, I think it's going to be taking the lid off a lot of things, including with the Snyder Chamber of Commerce concerning the hot funds. I don't know if you kept.
Yeah,
that's been
admitted that they were misspent, not outside of proper uses in a few cases, according to state law. I think there was actually admission to that. Right. So, in other words, what you're telling us is that in Snyder and Scurry County, there seems to be a lot of stuff that's been under the lid, and it's time for an election to move the lid off. What happens if the voters in Scurry County don't elect you and others who are interested in reform, And then it just puts more rivets holding the lid down, doesn't it? I mean, that's been my experience. It lets these folks get away with this stuff.
Yes, sir. And, you know, the way the people, the folks here, the voters here in Scurry County, they're wanting to elect. They're going to be elected patriots now. They don't want politicians. They want patriots.
Well, let me ask you this, Mitch Hickman, running for Precinct 2, County Commissioner in Scurry County. What is it about you? You've mentioned some powerful things, that you've already got a record of being against tax increase, the sole member of the city council. You've mentioned the transparency problems. In the last few moments we have, tell folks a little bit about Mitch and why they ought to, what's your resume, or what is it that you would bring to the commissioner's court that would be in their interest?
Well, the folks here at Snyder, in the city of Snyder, Precinct 2, they know that I did my job that they elected me to do, and that's to bring transparency to the government, to bring the government back to the people, so that they are going to be well-rounded represented. So they're not going to be ruled anymore. They will have top-notch representation. You know, I'm out there with, you know, I'll protect the farm and ranches. We'll take care of the home folks. I possess a well-rounded background. I've worked with, stands with TxDOT to Clark County, Nevada. I've got background in civil engineering, development services. I've been self-employed most of my adult life since childhood. I'm currently self-employed. I started off with a bootstring into where we've got a very successful business now. I know how to work a budget, stay within the budget. Folks know that I'm a no-nonsense person, that I will protect their finances. I will do what I can to protect our county. We have, we hear a lot of where the Chinese government has been buying up a lot of our food supply chains on our farms. We got to maybe perhaps make policy that will prohibit foreign ownership of our farms and ranches here in Scurry County, and hopefully, or, you know, to take that with the state of Texas.
All right, let me ask you. Go ahead.
Word out, and he's all kind of guy.
All right, I got it. Let me ask you this question. What do you think is behind, we see this often, the older I've gotten, the more I've realized how similar almost every situation is. Every time you dive into it, people say, well, it's unique here. Yeah, but overall, I don't know. But my guess is it's the same I've seen for decades in other places. But what is behind this idea where a certain group of people get in political office and they tend to all, maybe they break the open meetings laws, maybe they don't, it doesn't matter. Socially, they sort of create a cohesive group together, and they believe they somehow have been elected not as representatives, but as leaders. In other words, it's their job to tell everybody what's good for the city, what's good for the county. I think this is a sickness in our culture, and I've seen this kind of thing watching Scurry County. In other words, we're in office now, we know better, don't tell us what to do, we're the leaders. I think that's a philosophical divide. And I hear you talking about representing the people and taking care of the people's interest. And of course, being self-employed sure helps you with that attitude, because you know how quickly things can change. Just a few moments comment on the overall situation that's developed over these past few years in Scurry County.
Well, when I first moved here about roughly 11 years ago, I lived over in Mitchell County. And then at the time I got married, and wife wanted to move here to Snyder to be closer to her business. Well, I've always been a political activist, so to speak. I had actually challenged Charlie Wilson of Charlie Wilson's War for the United States Congress back in 1983 and 84. I was at Tiananmen Square, Beijing, 1989. I was part of the pro-democracy protest there, which didn't go very well, you know, have a pro-democracy protest in a Chinese, in a communist country. It's, and I see that. I've always been a servant to the people. When I was working with TxDOT, working with Clark County, Las Vegas, the people are, they're your customer. Whether you're in government or if you're self-employed, it's about the people.
Yeah, about the customer.
It's all about them. And you can't have a community. If you look at Snyder, I mean, even my own business, nobody, none of the business people want to go in because because of the taxes. I mean, if you go in and put a coat of paint on your business, they might tax you out. You know, other businesses and people don't want to move here because of the taxes.
So you say, are you saying that the appraisal system there and people are just extremely aggressive? Is that what you're saying? In other words, you just make
they're
a slight improvement.
Very.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
why is and by the way, we're going overtime on this, and I'm going to use this. I'm going to have to figure out how we've gone over our segment length. I want to ask you this: why is Scurry County and the county operation? And I don't know about the city, but the county operation. Why is it so avaricious for every nickel and dime? Because, you know, I grew up in a rural West Texas county. It doesn't have oil and gas. All the counties around it, a lot of the counties don't have what's not. I mean, you guys are blessed with an incredibly rich, robust tax base in the oil and gas business. And even when the oil business is down, the values don't get knocked down massively. I mean, you know, it can be a big percentage. But I'm just saying, Scurry County enjoys a largesse compared to most other counties in Texas. It's one of those counties that it's very fortunate. It has an incredible tax base in it. So why is there this, I know it's true because we've been reporting stories out of there and you alluded to it. Why is there this incredible avarice almost, this greed, this incredible aggressive nature in the county to capture every penny off everybody? What is it that they think that courthouse down there is going to do that's better for the county with people's money than good, honest business people engaging in free commerce are going to do? Because that seems to be the attitude.
Well, the preservation of free enterprise here is not, there is no preserving the free enterprise here. And that's why I said, when I moved here, I mean, when I started picking up the local paper, I got angry. I got very angry. And that's when I met my residence requirement, that's when I joined up and ran for city council. I beat out a longtime incumbent who had been here for decades, knocked him out by 60% of the vote. And that let me know, and I did not spend a dime, Robert. Mm-hmm. I did not put up one sign. I did not put up one banner. All I did was, you know, go out and shake hands. But the people that know me know what I'm about. They know that I can't be bought out. I mean, I worked when I worked in Las Vegas in Nevada. I didn't sell my soul here, and nobody here has got enough to buy my soul here. I mean, that's just the way I am. I'll go in. I don't try to do it with honey and try to do the best I can. But if I have to, I will overturn the tables and try to make things right, because that's what the people put me there for. They entrust me. Put their confidence in.
What is it with the so-called, I always call them the civic cheerleaders, sometimes you call it the downtown crowd, and it's not fair to lump everybody in, because obviously everybody's not of the same level, but what is it in a place like Snyder, Texas, where you have such a robust base tax base that they act as if they're starving to death all the time and they've got to have constant huge tax increases, and that the public is out of line even, because that was the big deal on that big county tax increase. The public's out of line even questioning, you know, our leaders down here. What do you think is going on with that, just in a personal or social point of view? It doesn't necessarily have to be big political philosophy. I don't think all these people are necessarily, you know, really Democrats and they're just fake Republicans. There's just something else going on. I just want to, you seem very attuned to it, and I want to pick your brain about that, because it bothers me. I think it bothers a lot of people. They see this at various degrees all the time.
Well, Robert, Judge Clay Mize and we've had discussions. He and I became friends through our mutual concern for this community. It's hard to, you know, point a finger, you know, say, you know, is it just outright corruption? You know, is it just outright corruption? Is it secret societies who you know, taking over. I mean, there's so many things, and the only way to get things changed is that people got to rise up. People have got to get to like I had one guy said, "Well, boss man, it's too expensive, you know, to run a campaign." No, it's not. You don't have to be rich. That's just a narrative. You don't have to be rich in Scary County to run for any office. If your heart's in the right place, people will elect you. But you've got to get in there. And, well, I guess there's the old adage, you know, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, I think you're right on it. I mean, I think the only solution is when just a community of people, because that's what we're talking about, a community that's small enough to where this stuff shouldn't be mysterious. I mean, you know, numbers from the courthouse shouldn't be hidden. Everybody ought to pretty well have a good idea where things are. We all know when a couple of businesses close or when a few new ones open and that kind of thing in our town, when somebody's laying workers off versus when they're hiring. It's that size community. So I don't, granted, you're having the same problem I am. What really is behind this? And you're right. Rising up of the citizen to counter it is so important to save our country. What do you think about that? Let me posit this idea with you before we finish our interview. Is it more back the old thing about a vacuum, you know, that nature abhors a vacuum, leadership abhors a vacuum. If people aren't involved, the people that do get involved simply just take the ball and run with it, to mix a metaphor. And they start believing that they know better than everybody else. This is so opposite, really, Robert, what America's supposed to be about.
You're absolutely right. And sitting on the Snyder City Council, you know, I've seen that. I don't know if it's this go along, get along, or they start worrying about, well, if I don't do this, and then, you know, I'm
frustrated,
Robert. If people, I mean, I during the rollback, I mean, I had some you know, people that you know, say, well, we're going to boycott you. Well, Robert, you know, my business doubled and tripled. The more the word out that, well, we're going to boycott him, and my business doubled.
Right.
I mean, I can prove that through the numbers.
For people who missed it, that they actually openly threatened businesses at losing city or county and any government business in town,
sir.
if they were
absolutely
known to fight for the rollback of the tax rate. I mean, that's near criminal. That's very un-American.
Yes.
And that's why I'm taking this time. People are listening. Scurry County, what do we care? Because it's a perfect laboratory for what's been going on in the country. It's a generally conservative place. Generally a conservative place with, you know, God and country, conservative values. And yet, what do we see, Mitch Hickman? We see an arrogance. You know, and I kind of think that's funny. Okay, you know, that courthouse ain't that particularly pretty. I mean, didn't they put those slabs up during the oil boom of the 70s and 80s up over it? And if I'm remembering right, over the front of it, I mean, it's not the Palace of Versailles, so surely it can't be going to work every day in this grand edifice that causes people to start thinking that they're above everybody else and that they are their masters, their rulers. So there's something else at play in our society where even in... See, too many people want to say, well, that's in Dallas or Houston. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. I know small county people on the school boards, people in their city. It's the same story playing out everywhere where people get elected to office. And after a little while, even some good ones, they start having this attitude that there are leaders. And I really bristle when I hear people talk about our leaders. In America, we don't have leaders. We're sovereign citizens. We have elected representatives we lend power to temporarily. They are our public servants. And yet our culture's gone the other way. And it bothers me. And you're right there front row center, because it's sort of been melodramatic in Scurry County and in Snyder over the past 4 or 5 years. I mean, you know, it's not the little argument hidden over in the coffee shop. It's really blown up in the public square. So that's why I'm asking, because I'm just like, I'm sure a lot of you, you're sitting there trying to figure out what is this? I, you know, I'm sure you sat around and said, well, are these guys pocketing money? What's and you said, no, there's no evidence of that. Well, then what's the motivation to have this attitude that the poor working stiffs out there don't deserve to keep $200 more a year of their money to feed their children when they're struggling? But county government or city government, they can't do without it. I mean, you know, we need another multi-$1,000 file cabinet or something. I just, it's an attitude I personally don't understand.
It's, you know, one of the things I'd like to see with the commissioners, for example, is get those commissioners out of those fancy offices in the courthouse and get them back into the precinct barns. You know, you've heard the old adage that, you know, when the cat's away, the mouse will play. Well, it's time for the county commissioners to get back to those precinct barns.
Well, in your county, they're still running the precincts. Right, they're still running the road and bridge crews and all that. They don't have a big countywide centralized administrator for that. The commissioners are doing those jobs.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Right.
Exactly. Like, you know, some larger counties have a county manager.
Right. Well, that makes what you're saying makes sense. And, you know, here's the problem. When you all congregate together, my problem with elected officials, Mr. Hickman, is that when they get elected and go to the courthouse, all they same at city councils, particularly in bigger cities, well, everywhere, really, the people that are around all the time, they start to think of the employees there and the staff as their constituents. And we have a human nature of wanting to please the people we see a lot because we want to be liked. Well, when you get in the courthouse and you're around everybody that's a consumer of the taxpayer's money, instead of being around the taxpayer all day, every day, what happens is it's a human tendency for most people to want to please those people instead of the people who lent the power to you. And this is just, it's extraordinarily frustrating for people like you and me who see this trend and see how it manifests down to the most extreme local level and how it's magnified up through the state level and then in the federal level. And everybody around us, including some of those people locally, Mr. Hickman, will sit around and talk about how bad it is in Washington. And they'll make quips about Austin. And they're completely blind to the fact that all those are doing is just reflecting what's going on at the local level. When your county refuses to give out the county reserve funds as if it's some kind of private secret company, and the newspaper has to go to the attorney general to get these people to turn over simple budget numbers, you know that there is a fundamental ethical societal problem, at least in your county government.
Ethics is a problem. With the appraisal district, I mean, ethics is a huge, huge problem here. There are no ethics here. None. And I've got a background in appraisal in real estate brokers.
When you said earlier that a business owner's afraid to put a coat of paint on because they're going to get jacked on their property taxes. And remember, folks,
exactly.
Commercial properties doesn't have any of these protections really that residential property has. I know you're saying, what protections? Well, think about if you had none. How is that good for your community? What it does is it lends itself to a rundown, dirty. In other words, it's one of those, it's like a Democrat policy. It works against itself. It causes a lack of business development, lack of reinvestment. And you're not the first person to say this. Over the last four or five years covering these issues in Scurry County, it has become clear that there is an antagonism between the county, the appraisal district, whomever it is, whatever units of government, it's probably not all of them, against everybody. And again, it brings me back under the listeners are tired of hearing it. We've turned this now into one of these long form podcasts because I think a lot of folks do want to hear this. But I bring it all back around again. What's the greed? What's driving the greed? I mean, does every official down there have 32 family members on the payroll? I mean, I remember in the rollback election, they threatened to lay people's off and they threatened families about layoffs for people that work for the county. That made it into the public domain. What's going on? In other words, I just can't understand what in the world a bunch of local yokels, and I don't mean that because you're rural. I mean that if you're in Dallas or whatever, local people that think their little kingdom is the center of the world. Why in the world a bunch of local yokels think that they're going to more wisely spend money. That's the left-wing Democrat Party socialist idea. They're going to be a better steward for the resources of the people and have better economic development and progress than the people are spending their own money and keeping government's take as low as possible. But we see this everywhere, Mitch. We see it in rural school districts. We see it all over. It used to be public servants. You go in a lot of counties in Northwest Texas now, the highest paid person in that county is the superintendent of schools. What happened to that? This is public service. That's why you get a retirement thing. You know, all us self-employed people, we don't have any retirements or pensions. What is it with all this? It just seems like the entire thing has flipped on us. And Scurry County is just the right size where we can see this. They cannot claim utter poverty like a lot of our shrinking counties can. I mean, they've got massive oil and gas and other property taxpayers in the county. Snyder is, because of its locations, maintained a pretty healthy population there. You've got a pretty good local business crowd, but it's not, you got a local college there, but there just seems to be this attitude that, well, I just don't know how to explain it. And I'm going on too much, but I'm wanting to have that philosophical discussion with you. What do you think? You've been around. That's one reason I'm asking you. You've seen other places. It creates a little myopia when you've been born and reared in one place and you really haven't been anywhere else. Doesn't mean you can't figure it out just as well, but it's easier when you've been to other places. What is it that causes this antagonism towards people who just really want to be left alone? That was my original mantra on this show. Just leave us alone. We'll create the economic engine. Government will be fine because we'll create the economic engine on Main Street. What's going on with these people? See, your dog's even upset at me and about it now.
Oh, she's a true Republican.
I've gone on enough, though. I want you to talk about it for a little bit because you've got an outsider's perspective.
What do you think? I think it's lack. I think it's been empathy. I think people are just they're busy working.
Apathy. Yeah.
They're slaving. They're working out in the oil fields. They're working in medical fields. They're working that day. Mama's working, and they just don't have the time. They elect a so-called leader and not a representative. You know, they pay more attention into the background and into the individuals and not, well, they're, you know, a friend of a friend. No, I mean, you know, who are you putting in that office? It don't matter if it's local, state, federal. Research it. Get off your duff and research that stuff. But we don't have, you know, people don't have time. They entrust it to an individual, and then, of course, we're being let down.
Well, you know, that's the problem. We were always told that at the local level, that would be much better. You know, everybody, local control. My experience the last 10 years in a Republican-dominated state is that local government tyranny is actually more emotionally vicious and more desirous of controlling one's neighbors than it is at a farther away level. I think a lot of folks have witnessed this, and that's surprising because, you know, one of our big American things is power. The closer to local, the better, because people can handle it. I get that. But it seems like the lack of anonymity, the knowing thy neighbors, is turned into a negative where they're just, it's just vicious.
Well, I've been in other counties, I've spent a lot over in East Texas. My wife, she was my business partner and wife. I mean, we've been working shop there all during the lockdown, and she got the cancer, so she's been going to Baylor over there in Houston. So I've got a place called Point Blank, and I'm from Silsby, Hardin County, and so I'm familiar with a lot of East Texas, but I've gone to the counties there. It's now Polk County. I think they're facing a lot of things that Scurry County is, but like in San Jacinto County, I mean, you've got areas over there that's got two times, three times the population of Scurry County, and they get by with half the budget we have. Scary County.
Yes, and we can show the numbers to local people, and even our local media often doesn't want to publicize it, and nobody wants to talk about it. We see this for city governments and counties all the time, where they get by with a tremendous amount less, and they're bigger, you know, but I don't know. It just, there's some very rural counties that have massive tax increase, you know, massive tax rates around, and then there are some other, a lot of our rural counties, honestly, their courthouses run lean. That's why this Scurry County thing really stands out to me, because there's just been, with an already abundance that all that most of the neighbors in Northwest Texas would look at, maybe not in the Permian, but up in north of you, would look at with envy. There's been this attitude that there's never enough money for local government. And it's not like Scurry County's having some kind of big building boom and growth spurt. So what causes this?
Well, Robert, I think it's just, you know, it's just a wasteful attitude. I think in the entrance of, there ought to be a plaque in every courthouse that should have these words. And this is what I was brought up by my father, who was up there in the Depression and, you know, an old World War II Navy fighter pilot. And there's plaque in our kitchen. And I mean, ever since I could read as a child, it was on this wooden plaque. It was use it up, wear it out, and eat it all. And that is what I have, that was what I was brought up by. That's what I lived by.
My county used to do that with police cars, with the deputy cars. Run them till they couldn't run anymore. Had their own shop down by the jail. Let prisoners that had skills and others work on them. And you know, now where everybody's to the leasing the new Tahoes that are on some kind of lease or purchase, and then they trade them out all the time, and everybody's got the newest, neatest stuff. And then when you object to it, don't you want our law enforcement to have the best? Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, should they all get 4 months of vacation too? Well, should they be paid $250,000 a year? Where it's sort of like when Rush used to talk about, everybody says raise the minimum wage to $20. Well, why don't we just raise it to $100 an hour? And then they say, now that wouldn't work. Well, what do you mean by we want people to have the best? I mean, what happened to this being good stewards with the taxpayers' money and considering that an ethical principle for which you're proud? Because I've known past commissioners, even in an urban county like Lubbock County, James Kitten was one of them. There are others who were just fabulous commissioners. I mean, they made good decisions. They did spend money when we needed to spend money. They spent money when it would help save money. But at the same time, they took great pride in that ethos that you were just describing, being great stewards of the taxpayers' resources. And now that's looked at almost everywhere. They look at you funny, and it's sort of like that's an old-fashioned thing. Come on. Our job now is to find ways to get tax money to our buddies and the local 4-H and FFA and everybody else and build them a building and build that group a building. And, you know, all that's really, that's economic development. Right. Yeah, right. Sure it is.
And using tax money to prop up private enterprises.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
That's a whole other podcast there. We're seeing a lot of that.
Well, I wish you the best, you and Mr. Mize and any other conservative running in Scurry County, it's been a real mess. We've been visiting with Mitch Hickam. He is a candidate for Precinct 2 County Commissioner in Scurry County. And Mitch, thank you for taking the extra time. I don't know, there are just some things you said today, coupled with having thought back about the last 5 or 6 years covering Scurry County, and it just lights a fire under you. But I feel like there's really nothing I can deliver to the audience. You know, I'd love to come up with a great phrase about it, but I think yours is what you said is about right. People are too apathetic and they're busy doing other stuff and they're not paying attention. And what we need is good citizens to stand up and come out and show up and vote and put people in who are willing to upset the tables when the money changers are in the temple. And you mentioned that. You used that little bit of that phrase. So best of luck, Mitch Hickman. Do you have a website or a Facebook or anything, Mitch, for people to find you at?
No, sir.
Okay.
Right now I'm just on Instagram. I am on Twitter. I'm trying to get the plug for my business, but I'm on Twitter, it's BS Beverage Barn.
Okay.
And the same on Instagram. Facebook, They banned me about the same time they banned our President Trump.
Okay, that's right. I just wanted to know if people out there listening wanted to get in touch with you. Give them the name of the of that business of yours again, the Beverage Barn. What's the name?
You know, checks in the mail, Robert. It's a BS Beverage Barn.
Okay, good deal.
You know, another thing, Robert, we got to do, we got to get the feds out of areas that can be handled by local government.
Well, that's right, but only if local government will handle it better. You know, I'm really becoming cynical. I'm becoming cynical that, again, as I mentioned, that local doesn't necessarily mean better. I'm really becoming a federalist purist that the states are sovereign and that the state government's where it needs to be, and local government is actually only lent power from the state. It's lent to local folks that have formed up. I'm not into this local control stuff much anymore, but you're right. We got to go, Mitch. Thanks a lot. Mitch Hickman, ladies and gentlemen, Scurry County Precinct 2. Thanks a lot.
We're the mandate candidate.
All right. Very good. Tom in Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns aren't fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Learn more about Dr. Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, it's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks, SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually.
You can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com. HURLEY Benefits.com.